We're going to jump in head over heels. Amen. We are going to launch out into the deep. Pray that the Holy Spirit keeps us on the right track. We need that of all things. We need the illumination of the Holy Ghost. Father, in Thy name we pray, give me wisdom. My Heavenly Father, give me the gift of teaching. And my Father, open the hearts of the people to receive Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now let's go back today. And I told you last week, if you go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, that we get into serpent worship. And Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 1. Genesis 3:1. If you, one thing to remember in your study of the Bible will be a great help to you is to remember that the book of Genesis not only is the first book of the Bible, but it's the book of beginnings. The things show up for the first time in the book of Genesis. Always note something very carefully when it shows up the first time in its context. What's happening? What's going on here? What's the message? And that's what's called the law of first mention. Here in Genesis 3:1, the Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Immediately, we are presented with a creature that can talk, called a serpent. The Hebrew word for serpent here is nachash. And that's a mysterious thing. It shows up again in the Old Testament a number of times. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 3, refers back to this very same scripture and quotes it and makes an application of it, where he says, "As the serpent beguiled Eve." The first time he shows up, he shows up as a tempter, a seducer, and one who obviously is presented in the aspect of wisdom, the wise one. It's quite a strange thing to think that wisdom and a serpent is synonymous, but it is everywhere in ancient culture and in pagan culture all around the world. You'll be amazed at how many times that the serpent is cast in the light of a wise one. And the wisdom is always hidden wisdom. It's the kind of wisdom that you must be initiated into in order to get it, to understand it, to receive it. This idea of initiation is very important because it bears directly on what I'll be teaching you this morning about what's going on today in the Christian church in the worship of the serpent. The initiate is one who has been allowed to come into a circle of wisdom that can only be attained by understanding things as they are revealed in that circle, by that system, by that method, by that way. And this is the hidden wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom that the world is constantly seeking after. Now, the Bible says that there is the wisdom of this world, and the Bible says also that there is the wisdom of God. The Scripture says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that upbraideth not, giveth to all men liberally." That's the wisdom of the Lord. But there is the wisdom which is of the earth, earthy, and then there's the wisdom of God. Now, as far as revelation is concerned, there are things about God that you will never know unless He reveals them to you. You'll never know them by searching. You'll never know them by finding. The Scripture says, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" You can't find Him. You can't find Him. You'll never locate Him. You'll never find a place where He is. But in any event, I want to launch out from this morning to the idea, the wisdom, the hidden wisdom, the initiate, how that you must be, that you must enter into this system in order to understand what's going on. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Lucifer Publishing Company? I mean, that's on the surface of it, that's pretty plain, Lucifer. You remember what I've told you about the occult world and how they view Lucifer? You remember what Albert Pike said in his Morals and Dogma about Lucifer? You remember that Lucifer, his name means light bearer, is cast in a good light, not a bad. And that he is, and a lot of times he is set in opposition or contradistinction to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Lucifer on one hand, Christ on the other. Well, this Lucifer Publishing Company is a product of the Theosophist Society. The word Theosophist literally means wisdom of God. But don't let that fool you. Don't let that fool you. Theos is God. Sophia is wisdom. The Church of the Sophia, the Church of Sophia is located in Istanbul, Turkey, which was turned into a mosque when the Muslims overran the Christians there. They turned it into a mosque, but the building is still there. It's the Church of Ancient Wisdom, the Church of Sophia. So if you know somebody whose name's Sophia or something like that, you know, just this doesn't mean that they're cursed. It doesn't. You understand that just because somebody has that name, the fact is every name there is has some kind of an etymology to it. You can search it down, find out where it came from. But the Lucifer Publishing Company was designed to give out the wisdom of God. And the lady, the woman who started this thing was Alice Bailey. Now, she's not original in anything. But what she did some people are able, they have the gift, the ability to gather together from many different sources and create a system of study, a discipline of theology, or something of that nature. You follow me on this. If you get on the internet and begin to do your own research, you're going to find out that you're going to go off in 1,000 different directions. And you're going to find out when you go off in 1,000 different directions that you're going to get out here and the people don't even agree among themselves. And so what are you going to do if you're going to try to teach something or organize something? You have to organize it with some kind of a system. And this is exactly what she did. And she was a student of Helen Blavatsky, which was a Russian. These people made no bones about the fact that the wisdom that they're talking about is wisdom that can only be understood and attained and received by the initiate. You had to be initiated. You have to be brought into the system in order to understand this wisdom. Alice Bailey taught that there was a 7 initiations. And remember that number 7. 7 initiations that would eventually bring the individual to a place where they could understand, perceive, consciously receive what's called Shambhala. It's like Shangri-La, you know, the non-existent utopian place on earth. Man's always looking for a place where there is no sin, no trouble, no heartache, no sorrow, no death, no dying. That doesn't exist here. There is a New Jerusalem where there is no sin, no sorrow. You see, here's something you find out as you get into the study of this, and this is important. Put this down in the back of your mind. And that is the conjunction of opposites. That's the bringing together of opposites. This bringing together of opposites creates a circle, creates a whole. The Eastern mind, which the church in America is forming itself after now, the Eastern mind, the Hindu mind, the Buddhist mind, has the idea of the joining together of opposites. Now, how many of you know what yin and yang is? A circle, just draw a circle, right? That's a whole. But within that whole, you have this. Okay? Now, think about it for a moment. Within the whole, you have this that makes the whole. Then you have within it this. On one side is yin, on the other side is yang. They are opposites, yet they are contained in the whole. One is male, one is female. One is good, one is bad. Yet they are contained in the whole, which means that it completes, it's a completeness, it's necessary. Now, marvel, I just want to put this as a sidelight. I marvel at how many times the yin and yang is showing up in logos and in advertisements, and nothing is said. It's just there. It's just there. And I don't know if it's there so they can let the rest of them know they're connected with them, or if it's there because they feel like there's some projection of power with it, or whatever. Or they put it there because they want to please their deity or whatever, but it's there. Yin and yang is showing up everywhere. So remember, the circle represents the whole, completeness, yet within it is the two opposites. The opposites are brought together. So on one hand you have Lucifer, on one hand you have Christ to join and merge together. Now keep that in your mind as we move along in our study, because that's a concept. And as you understand, things are built on concepts. You have a concept, which is a broad view, a panoramic understanding. Then you deal with the particulars the mechanics of put the nuts and bolts of putting it together. You say, what's this got to do with the church? It's got everything to do with the church. You would be amazed at what it's got to do with the church. It literally boggles my mind at what it has to do with the church. Someone told me last week that Jack Van Impe, who's on at 7:30 here in Knoxville on Channel 11, and Jack Van Impe, they said last week, would be doing an expose this morning on Rick Warren. So I recorded it and tuned in. I seldom ever watch him, but I wanted to see what he had to say. It's pretty good. I recorded it. And he had something to say about Mr. Warren. We'll talk about that later. I just wanted to mention that to you, that there is an issue, big issue, going on in the church, and it's for the very heart and soul of the church itself. And the church, when it comes out of this, is either going to come out of it orthodox, standing for the truth, or it will come out of it unrecognizable of its former self. So the yin and the yang is a conjunction of opposites. Now, Miss Bailey wrote many things. One of the things she wrote was the Aquarian Conspiracy. This is after Aquarius, which was one of the signs of the zodiac, which are the 12 signs of the zodiac, which is referred to in the book of Job as the Masoreth, or the 12 constellations, or the 12 boxes, or the 12 places in the heavens. And she wrote, one of the books that she wrote was about the Aquarian Conspiracy. Now, here are the dates on Alice Bailey. This is important. Get the chronology, because I told you how chronology is so important. She was born June the 16th, 1880. She died December the 15th, 1949. I was 3 years old when this woman left this world. Now, how long ago was that? That's a long time. That's long before what you know today that's been going on in the churches. And yet, as far back as the time, which would be the first part of the 20th century, that's when she would be most active during her lifetime, these things have been set in motion. And she said that she received so much of her inspiration or understanding from her spirit guide. Now, a spirit guide to these New Agers or these people in the occult is someone in the spirit world who gives them wisdom. Remember the serpent? God doth know, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There is a knowledge that you need to know that God is withholding from you. God is not fair, or He'd tell you everything. And I, the serpent, I'm here, your master. I'll give you all that knowledge and all that wisdom. And this is what happens. She had a spirit guide. They all do. Marilyn Ferguson's had spirit guide after spirit guide. One of her spirit guides was Jawal Kuhl. D-J-W-A-L-K-H-U-L. This spirit guide told her about what was coming, what was going to be done in the churches in America. She was told that a Lord Maitreya and a Krishnamurti would arise. And I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, full-page ads were run here in the country saying that the Christ has arrived. And that was the Lord Maitreya. Krishna is a Hindu term that some think refers to Christ. Remember that the Hindus have millions of gods. And remember that this stuff we're talking about today, the direct connection with Rick Warren and the Saddleback Church and what's going on in Clinton, Tennessee, no more than 30 miles from your back door, is directly connected with Hinduism and Eastern mysticism. Here's what she said. Alice Bailey wrote that behind all human evolution, now here we have evolution, and we have human evolution. Now our children have been taught in the public school system, they evolved, all right? But you see, here's the problem. A foundation was laid in their mind that evolution is a real thing. And so what happens here is that they have biological evolution, but from that is the springboard of spiritual evolution. All this other stuff begins to come to light. And this is the sinister part of it, you see. I'm not saying even that the teachers that taught this in the public school system believe what I'm about to say. But if they believe in biological evolution, they do believe, you know what evolution is about. It's about a simple form of life evolving into a more complex form of life. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Yes. So Bailey wrote, and of course she believed it, that behind all human evolution stands a brotherhood of enlightened souls who have guided and aided humanity throughout history, spirit beings. For Bailey, the evolution of humanity was intimately bound up with its relationship to this spiritual hierarchy. So now it's no longer simply an issue of biological evolution, it is an issue of spiritual evolution. Maybe that's one of the reasons that you're seeing the yin and the yang in 21st century America, high-tech world, high-tech country, sending satellites to the moon, all this. And yet here we have yin and yang, and that's not the only one, but that's the one that's obvious to me, showing up on all these logos and all these boxes of cereal and all this other stuff that I see. I marvel at this stuff. I think, people, can't you see what's out there? I think to myself, even though man has, he's so proud of his intellect and his achievements, he's still tapping into a spiritual world. And the reason he does, because physical things, material things, will never satisfy your soul. And a soul that is hungry for something spiritual will take one of two paths. You'll take the path to the Lord Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Ghost, and be born again, or you'll take a path that leads you into death and destruction and eternal damnation. But in any event, she believed that the stimulating and uplifting influences of religions, philosophies, sciences, educational movements, and human culture in general are the results of this relationship. Remember, the spirit beings, the spiritual hierarchy. And though in time humanity debases all of these developments, they are all in their original impetus conceived as the result of the spiritual hierarchy working in concert with evolving human potential. Now, a Bible believer can easily understand what's going on, because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we understand that though you don't see it, it does not deny the reality of what's there. There is a spirit world that's right in this building this morning. Bailey wrote of the return of Christ. Now remember, I told you that the word semantics is very important. I say blue, you say blue. Blue to you is not blue to me. I say up, you say up. Up to you is not up to me. Are you following? There was a time when the definition of terms was universal. When somebody said something, somebody understood what they said. But you live in the age of semantics. You say it and somebody else says the same thing, but neither one of you are talking about the same thing, you see? When she says the Christ, she's not talking about my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Bailey wrote of the return of Christ, but her concept had little in common with that of mainstream Christian churches. Bailey almost always used the phrase, the Christ. Remember what I told you about that? When not referring specifically to the Christian idea. For her, the leadership of the hierarchy, remember the hierarchy, the spirit beings, is an office, so to speak. Goes back to the old Gnostic idea. The Christ came on the Lord Jesus for a while, and the Christ left him when he died on the cross. This office is to be occupied by various masters, ascended masters, through the seven points of initiation. They reach that highest rung, and once they've reached it, they become a master. When you talk to a New Ager or to even someone outside of that about the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. He is an ascended master. He's an avatar. Well, make no mistake about it. If they ever refer to him as an ascended master or an avatar or something like that, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, as I've said to you before, if there's any place on the face of God's earth that somebody ought to have spiritual discernment and understanding of what's going on in the spirit world, it ought to be the Church of God. It ought to be. It ought to be. So, for her to be occupied with various masters, include the Master Jesus. See, Master Jesus. In the course of their unfolding evolution, she saw the Christ as a great person embodying the energy of love, his return as the awakening of that energy in human consciousness. She also introduced the ideas the new Christ might be of no particular faith at all. Here we go. That he may be from any nation, race, or religion, and wrote that his purpose of returning will be to restore man's faith in the Father's love and a close personal relationship with all men everywhere. Fatherhood of God, brotherhood of men, all faiths are legitimate. They're all leading to the same place. We're all headed up the same mountain, maybe going different sides, but we're all heading, we're all brothers, blah, 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 blah. Alice Bailey. Listen to this. She revealed an ingenious plan, 1957 volume. The externalization of the hierarchy. Obviously, this volume was published after her death. New Age agents would infiltrate the Christian church to modify its message. 1957. Transforming it as an instrument for the universal religion of the 21st century. The goal of the New Age movement has consistently been to bring in the age of Aquarius, when all will recognize the God within themselves. A major step towards this is the words of the New Age prophetess Alice Bailey, is the regeneration of the churches. Her vision was that the Christian church in its many branches can serve as a St. John the Baptist, as a voice crying in the wilderness, and as a nucleus through which world illumination may be accomplished. In a word, she desired the time when the Christian churches would embrace the New Age concepts of illumination and self-realization. Her vision has been realized. How do you do that? Well, here's how you do it. You undermine the authority of the Scripture that started the first part of the 20th century. That was a reaction to the origin of the species back in the 1800s. They came out with theistic evolution. You undermine the doctrine of the Scriptures. You create then a pseudo-Christianity, a false Christianity. And the process of doing that, then you have to begin to legitimize yourself. What am I here for? If I don't really believe in the cardinal doctrines of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if I don't believe in the blood atonement, the virgin birth, then what's it about? Well, it becomes about your spirituality. It's about you. So the focus is no longer on the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus is on you. Self-love, self-esteem, self, self, self. This generation of all generations that ever lived is the most self absorbed generation on earth. How many agree with me? Self-love, self-esteem, self, me, myself, and I. Notice the term self-realization. It fits right in to the framework. They have prepared the church well. It's been a process of over 100 years of preparing the people to receive the lie. Self-realization, illumination. You're getting light that no one else has. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And it gets scary, real scary. But this idea, you have to condition people to receive that idea. And you condition them by telling them that it's all about you. Well, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of Him. My life is not lived because of me. I'm here to bring glory to God. That's the book. The apostle said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, it was all about the Lord Jesus. He said He separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. All right, you know that. You know that because you go to church. You go to church that preaches the Word. You read the Bible. You believe the Bible. You've got a Bible in your hands that you believe, you trust, that you don't believe has any errors in it. But really, you're not any different than most of the churches were back in 1875, 1880, 1890, 1900. Not really. I don't know how many people, especially 20, 30 years ago, 80, 90-year-old people that I would talk to, and they'd say, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. You preach like those old preachers used to preach 50 and 60 years ago. How many of them told me that? So there's nothing different about me. I'm just out of time. That's all. Really? That's called an anachronism. I'm not in my... I'm in the wrong time element. I need to be back at, say, about 1910, 1920. How many of you ever seen Billy Sunday get up and throw chairs across the stage when he was preaching? That's the way they preached back then. Yeah, they still do today. But I'm saying what's happened today is they replaced the pulpit and the Word of God and the preaching of the Scripture with a stool. a stool. Okay. Forget about being me. It's not about me and me. So forget that I'm here, all right? Let's go back to what it's really about. It's not about me. It's about what's going on in the churches. Now, can anybody in this house this morning, can you see what I'm saying? Do you believe that we're on the right track with this? Alice Bailey said, we will infiltrate the churches. We will infiltrate the churches with our agents. And when we infiltrate the churches, we will bring the New Age doctrine with it. All right, this is First Baptist Church of Clinton, Tennessee. This is taken directly from their website. All I did was just create a PDF file from the website and print it out. That's it, verbatim, right there. Okay. Now, how far is Clinton, Tennessee? I've ridden my bicycle to Clinton, Tennessee. You know, back door, next door. All right. Now, here is in their wellness program. Wellness, wholeness, holisticness. How many of you have ever heard of holistic? Okay, you folks, you know. A lot of churches never heard anything like that. How many of you know what a hologram is? Okay, all right, holistic, hologram. The idea that modern man, 2011, has a much broader perspective of our being and what we are than those poor old ignorant fools back in 1950, right? We're so much smarter, we know so much more than they did back then. That's the idea. Well, I'm sorry, we don't. We're not smarter than our great-grandfathers. No, sir. No, sir. But anyway, the wellness programs, here's the schedule. And I went just to spare you from time. We get down to two sections right here, Body Works Yoga and Yoga Zone. Okay? And it has schedule hours. It has the class, $3 per class, first class free, and so forth. So the lady teaching this, the certified instructor, is Michelle Massey. I've never heard of this lady. Have nothing against her. Nothing personal about this dear soul right here. But my nose got to scratching a little bit, and I thought to myself, I got to find out what's going on here. So I typed her name into the, I Googled her name. Come to find out, one of her instructors is a Buddhist. Okay? Well, why not? Where are you going to learn yoga? Let me tell you what yoga means. Now, how many of you have ever exercised? Buddy, I have. Believe me. When I played basketball in high school, we went up the bleachers, down the bleachers, up the bleachers, down the bleachers. Ran. I know what exercise is. But I have never, ever, one time in my life, exercised yoga. But this is a wellness program. Do you know what the word yoga means? It's a Sanskrit word, which goes back to ancient India. Sanskrit. It means yoked. Yoke. How many know what a yoke is? They're hooked up to something. A few weeks back, I read an article to you from a fellow on the internet who is a Hindu, in yoga, and he was being highly critical of American Christians who think that they can practice yoga and call it Christian yoga. He said, let me tell you something. He said, yoga is Hindu. He said, there is no way whatsoever that you can separate any form of yoga from Hinduism. That's what he said. Now, I'm paraphrasing him. I can't remember exactly his word. I can find it if we need to. But he said, it makes a difference who you are and what you try, how you try to spin it. Yoga is Hinduism. Matter of fact, there's a lot of different types of yoga. There's Ananda yoga, Anasara yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Bikram yoga, Hatha yoga. It's amazing, isn't it? Integral yoga, Ishta yoga, Iyengar yoga, Jivamukhi Mukti yoga, Kali Ray Tri yoga, Kripalu, yoga. Kundalini yoga. Power yoga. Restorative yoga. Savananda yoga. Svarupa yoga. Vini yoga. Vinyasa. And white lotus yoga. I had no idea I had all these different kinds of yoga. I wonder which kind they're practicing over there at First Baptist Church of Clinton. First thing came to my mind. Which one? Well, let's talk about Kundalini yoga. Okay? How many of you remember we talked about it a few weeks ago? I'm going to give you some more information on it today that I didn't give you then. Kundalini yoga. It refers to a form of yoga that puts the person in a very deep spiritual trance where they are able to come in contact with the power that lies at the base of their spine. That power that lies at the base of their spine is the serpent. And that serpent entwines their spine and comes across the top of their head and gives them illumination, wisdom. You remember, God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The idea is that you need to tap into the power of that wisdom. And you don't just do it by saying, well, I need that wisdom. No, no, no. You've got to go through the course. You have to go through the 7 steps of initiation. Remember? Remember the initiation? Remember that you have to go into it deeply. You have to progress from step 1 to step 2 to step 3 to step 4 to step 5 to step 6 to step 7 in order to be able to tap into that final step, which is up here, the crown, they call it. And at that point, you are ready to connect with nirvana, with full and total illumination. And through these 7 chakras in the human body, kundalini has to do with your, from what, I'm no expert in this, but from what I've discerned, from what I've read, it has to do with your meditation on these points of power, because that's what a chakra is. It's a point of power. There's 7 of them, starting in the lower extremity of the body and eventually winding up at the top of the crown of the head. As you tap into these 7 chakras, you absorb the energy from that. You absorb the illumination, the power from it. And then you move up to the next step and into the next step. And eventually, you've reached to the highest step. Now, you say, well, now, what in the world? I mean, that's pure Hinduism. Yeah, it is. But when Rick Warren had his Daniel plan back in January at the Saddleback Church out there in California, he had 3 men, doctors. Wellness, remember, holistic medicine, holistic teaching, holistic training. He had 3 doctors that were part of his program. One was Dr. Hyman. The other was Dr. Amen. And the other one was Dr. Mehmet Oz. Have you ever seen Dr. Oz on television? Dr. Oz. Nothing personal against any of these men. Mention somebody's name here doesn't mean I have a bone to pick with them. Don't, you know, nothing personal. I'm simply teaching what I have to teach and fulfilling my responsibility to tell you what's going on. One of those men, I don't have his name this morning, one of those men teaches kundalini yoga very deep into it. And of course, thought comes to your mind immediately. I wonder if he'll use any of that on these quote-unquote Christians out here at Saddleback Church. And this is why Jack Van Impe, on his broadcast this morning, and he has more to say, he says, next week, is so upset, is because that this is being taught and it's being embraced all across the nation, all these churches, and that one of the major Christian networks would not let him air what he said about Rick Warren. That network has never read Hosea, which says, my people are destroyed for lack of what?
Knowledge.
Silence is consent.
Right. Amen.
So if a network will not allow you, a Christian network will not allow you to present facts, this is nothing scurrilous. This is not coming in with some false accusation. This is the fact. He advertises this, that these people are there. But if that network will not allow you to present that, what has that network done? What is the most precious freedom you have in this nation? It's called the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And if you don't have that First Amendment, none of the rest of them matter. It's called the freedom of speech. That's what that stinking fairness doctrine they're trying to get rammed through tries to do away with. You pay for a 30-minute broadcast and you preach the Bible and you say something about a Muslim according to that fairness doctrine, that Muslim has to they have to give him 30 minutes so he can rebut what you had to say. Well, if he wants to buy his time, let him buy it. I had to pay for mine.
free country.
Freedom of speech. If some old boy wants to stand out here on the street corner and preach the gospel, let him preach. If he wants to get out here and hand out tracts, let him hand out. I believe in freedom. This hate speech and political correctness is a direct assault, folks, against the freedom of speech. Make no mistake about it. All right, let's get off the rabbit and get back to this. Seven chakras in the body. 7 points of power. 7 points concentration. And I give you a warning right now. I give you a grave warning. We only deal at a surface level. I will not get into the nuts and bolts of exactly how this is going to work and what I have to do to get into it. I'm not going to do it. Amen. Do you know why? Because I don't want to fool with that. There is spiritual power in that, folks. Spiritual power in it. You remember the book of Revelation where it says that they have not known the depths of Satan? Well, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about there's a line. There's a line you don't cross, and you stay off of it. And so this Kundalini yoga, it's the serpent entwined which rises from the base of the spine to enlighten, eventually dissolve the ego to become a God incarnate, thereby preventing further incarnation on the physical plane. The New Age disciples believe in reincarnation, are taught by the demonic hierarchy that this is the only way to stop the endless cycle of karma, to evolve into gods. Now, where does karma come from? Karma comes from Hinduism. There's a lot of material on the internet about this. And I just want to read some to you to remind you that of how important what we're talking about is. The goal and the techniques vary, but as one ascends through the seven progressive chakras, each is an initiation into a higher consciousness. Until finally, when you reach the point of union with Sanat Kumara or Shiva or Vishnu or Lord of the World, or what they most blasphemously call the Christ consciousness. Satan's deception is that through each successive chakra, the occult initiate actually does perceive a shift in consciousness to which to him it seems is a progressive shift. See what I mean? They're being drawn in deeper and deeper and deeper into the occult world. But the sad thing is that they're going to a church, and that's the first taste they have of the occult world. God help us. Now here are the seven chakras. The root chakra, the navel chakra, the solar plexus, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye, and then the crown chakra. I thought, what's that third eye? So I got to digging around a little bit on the third eye. It's also known as the inner eye. It's a mystical and esoteric concept referring to the part of the brow chakra in certain spiritual traditions, also spoken of as the gate that leads within to inner realms and spaces of higher consciousness. In New Age spirituality, the third eye may alternately symbolize a state of enlightenment or the evocation of mental images having deeply personal, spiritual, or psychological significance. The third eye is often associated with visions, clairvoyance, precognition, out-of-body experiences, so forth and so on. What is that? What is that? How many's ever heard the term all-seeing eye? Pull a dollar bill out of your body, out of your pocket, and look at what's on top of that pyramid. That's that eye. It's that eye. The eye of Horus is one of them, one representation of it. The eye of Horus. The eye of ABC. There's another representation. You see a lot of representations of a third eye. That eye is right here. Right here. And it resides right in front of the pineal gland. And the pineal gland controls what's called the hypothalamus, which are these glands that secrete chemicals into your body that control the functions of your body. Many of you in this house this morning have take pills for your thyroid. How many do that? The thyroid is a very powerful, important gland. You can have hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism. Overactive or underactive thyroid, and you pay the price. Either way it goes. They're very important. So the pineal gland is the one that's right in the middle of the brain, in the middle of it. And it's the center, the location of this chakra, this power point, this ability to see. Though you don't have physical eye to see with, you can still see if you can learn to tap into the power of that. Yes, sir. Now you follow me here. Does it look like that? Okay. He's talking about the Washington Monument. Now, this idea that the human body, and this as it relates to Kundalini Yoga, has all of this ability, and that through these seven successive stages of initiation that you reach this point of illumination and great spiritual wisdom, that's appealing to a lot of people. If you're not a born-again believer and you have a biblical background and you're rooted in the Bible, that appeals to you. But it appeals to the ego. It appeals to your power. It appeals to people, especially a generation like this one, this generation today, which is all about me, myself and I. There are certain words. We call them buzzwords or words that once they're said, they connect with something. Have you noticed all the new terms that are beginning to come up in the church today? Let me read off a few of them. Reformation. Not the Reformation like the time of Martin Luther in the 1500s, but a different type of Reformation. Synchronicity. That's a big long word. To synchronize means to what? When you synchronize, say you've got three people with watches. You've synchronized. What have you done? All at the same time. In other words, you're running together at the same time speed. Great awakening. How many of you know what's on television every night from tuning in, transformation, community, connectedness, entry point, paradigm shift? You know what a paradigm shift is? How many of you have seen the signs out here, paradigm tan? Paradigm tan. You know what that word paradigm means? It means to change. A paradigm means to go from one to another. So you walk into that tanning booth, white, and come out red. you've changed. That's the idea. I mean, that's what they're advertising. Well, a paradigm shift has to do with the change going on in the church. They're going to change it. Okay, synergy. All right, the word energy. You know what energy means? Synergy. Sin means to join it together. Okay? Synergy. Center point. How many have ever seen churches today called center point? Cross point. All these points. Point? Is a chakra a point? Guided imagery or imagination. This gets into contemplative prayer. All of this stuff. Convergence. And the elevation of man. Guided imagery, guided imagery is what Jared Loughner was in. Head over heels, deep into it. How many remember who he was? Jared Loughner, Arizona. January, February? I forget the date. He went down to a political meeting and unloaded with a 9mm. Shot a bunch of people to death. One of them was injured was a representative, a federal representative, Jared Loughner. It's serious business, folks. It's very serious. It's gotten to the point now that when somebody goes off to a church, you need to know where they're going, don't you? And those of you, many of you have family members in here this morning that belong to many different churches here in town and so forth, or in the country, in other parts of the country. It would behoove you to find out where they go. Amen. Say, why is it so important? Because in every last case, it winds up in demon possession. Amen. Because you're giving place to the devil, you open the door to spirit beings, and when you open the door to spirit beings, they will come in. I cannot believe, though, I have a hard time believing that a real born-again believer, if you are born again, the Holy Ghost is in you. If the Holy Spirit's not in you, you're not born again. And if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. That immediately, right there, is going to be, He's going to throw up a red flag inside your soul. It'll be like you trying to walk through that wall right there. He'll stop you dead in your tracks and say, "Leave this alone." And if they bring it into a church, He'll say, "Get up and get out of here." Problem is, here in Knoxville, the Bible Belt, 2011, we're surrounded all around us, folks, with churches just like that. Just like it. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you can't just go to any church. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Not now. Not now. You sure are.
We went to South Bank Gilead Church in Wisconsin and actually had Rick Warren do a satellite communication with our church at one point in time. We had a block party to get people to come in to get the numbers up. I had a group, supposed to be a Christian group, come out. Their name was Synergy.
Synergy?
Synergy.
Okay. The guys doing the playing?
No,
the guys who came.
The people that's coming to the group, they was friends of theirs, knew them. And being the worship leader kind of got to big heated debate about whether they're doing that or not. And I was a baby in Christ. I was just been saved probably 6 months or a year or less. And the pastor there called me and him into his office because we made a pretty big scene out in the parking lot about it. And said that he can see this going on in my community. But yet they didn't change their way. They're still affiliated with Saddleback.
Well, you see, he started this thing with the Purpose-Driven Life and so forth. These books were published. People bought the book. And a lot of times they have this loyalty about them. Well, I read his book. He's got to be bound to be right, you know. And that's what it's leading to. Yes?
People come up to me all the time. They always want to show me the book. But the guy the other day brought that book, The Shack.
Yeah.
And I started telling him that it was a bad book. You know, don't read it. It's evil.
Yeah.
The person that wrote it's evil. And he got into, he wanted to discuss about Christ, a God, having two personalities, a female and a male. And I said, "You are absolutely crazy." I said, "Anybody who thinks that way cannot know Jesus Christ as a person. There is no femininity."
But that's the yin and yang, the male, female. See, God is a complete whole, but inside you've got male and female, see? That's that yin-yang. And even if he doesn't know where that came from, the spirit that energized him put that in his head. All right. Yes, sir.
In 1980, I was invited to Seoul, Korea. And,
well, you're at home now with that.
I followed the research on the subject matter. Boy, what a mess. They went off in about seven different directions.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you talking about Sun Moon? Reverend Moon? Okay. Well, we're going to have to close. We're running out of time. We'll pick it up again next week. We're not finished, folks.